Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 29th November 2022, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Bhushan Bhusa, Namo Bhushan Bhusa, Namo Bhushan Bhusa, Namo Dijangwa Bhusa, Namo Dijangwa Bhusa, Namo Dijangwa Bhusa, Namo Pho Bhusa, Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tritiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati patta viramani samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu mechachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we shall turn to page 3 of the chanting book. Then we will chant the Patipa Puja. Okay, the Patipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganda sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang. Pujayami tamo nodam. Puja, sorry, kanda sambarayotena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujani yang tang puja baca namutamang wanda kanda kuno petang etang kusuma santati Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Bhutan Kusumena Nena Bunena Matena Chahotu Mokam Bupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Ayo tata yati vina sabhavang adivang se tuno bante paniyang pariha pitang anukampa upadaya patikan hatu motamang adivang se tuno bante Alepa pitang anukampang upadaya adigang patu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang pariha pitang anukampang upadaya patigang patu mutamang Okay, we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of these puja offerings. Significance of offerings of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance there. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide. Just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila Sampanya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nirvana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect to Tripuja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sangham Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. Okay, we shall off the light so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So just relax body and mind, maintain attention, then sustain the awareness or attention for as long as you can. Whatever arise, just let it arise. Be at ease. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just be at ease. Make sure you are able to relax every part of your body and mind. Then maintain awareness. Sustain it for as long as you can. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then let the mind settle down until the silent mind or the true mind arise. Okay, now I'll let you meditate on your own. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness within that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now we will turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atra Gachantu Devata Saddhammang Moni Rajasa Sunantu sakkamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sammasambuddhassa Ittipeso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho Vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko Pajatang veditabo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sawakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato Sakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Yadidam Chatari Purisayokani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punyam Khetam Lokasati Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. So we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 400. Okay. So I will read from where we stop. What is the meaning of this? We pray that the Buddha will explain. So we will move on to the commentaries so that we can go through the sutta to develop the deep understanding of the meaning. Then there's this outline short heading. Doubts of those of the three vehicles and of those of the fourfold assembly. Okay. Sutta. Concerning the Dhamma obtained in the Bodhi-mandala, meaning the fine and subtle Dhamma, the Buddha obtained in the Bodhi-mandala. No one is able to raise a question. So that was how complete and beautiful the Dhamma, the ultimate Dhamma is. So the meaning is we do not know how to approach the subject because it is real wisdom, not the provisional wisdom of the sound hearer. Those of the three vehicles cannot even ask about it. Then I find its meaning hard to fathom and am also unable to ask about it. The commentaries, because no one understands it, no one is able to ask about it. So this is, I think, Xinhua's way of putting it. It's actually quite true, because the ultimate Dhamma is so profound, so deep, and because of that, hardly any one of them who were there, especially the sound hearer and the fourfold assembly, can really comprehend what was spoken. So no one was able to even ask about the Dhamma. Then the next part of the sutta says, so you speak unasked, praising the path you have walked, and that wisdom, fine and subtle, attained by all the Buddhas. Meaning, he said, Sakyamuni, praise the true real wisdom, the extremely profound wisdom, which is understood only by all Buddhas in the Ten Directions and by Sakyamuni Buddha. Then next part of the sutta says, all the arahats without outflow, meaning although they have ended outflow and are four-stage arahats, And those who seek Nibbana, or they are bodhisattvas or the provisional vehicle who seek Nibbana, or perhaps they are Pacheka Buddhas, then the Sutta say, have fallen into the net of doubt, meaning hearing the Buddha speak of the true, profound, real Dhamma, which is extremely profound, subtle, and wonderful, rare, and foremost, everyone has doubt. They have fallen into a net of doubt. If one has doubt, one cannot cultivate the way, as the Buddha has often said before. Cultivators of the way must take care not to doubt. Once doubt arises, it is easy to get lost. So this one is the advice given, but from the Theravada Dhamma or essential Dhamma that we have learned, we understand doubt is a very severe mental hindrance, one of the five mental hindrances, and doubt is one of the important serious ones. Once you have doubt, you will not have confidence. Then there will be mental hindrance in your mind. And these mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness to develop understanding of the spiritual teaching. So that's the reason why you must not have doubt. But cultivator of the way, before they stabilize their cultivation, they tend to have doubt. Well, whenever they are not sure, they don't have the clear understanding, doubt tend to arise. So here, what you must develop is the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So when there is faith, sadha, your mind will be composed, collected. Then with the composed mind and the faith, there will be no doubt. So whatever that arise or happen, you will have the faith to continue, to cultivate. But this faith is very strange. Before you develop the stability of it, means before the faith become unshakable, means before it become balanced, it will not have that stability. So what happens is, as we cultivate, we must investigate into all essential Dhamma or truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Then we must learn to develop the understanding of who the Buddha is, how unique and how wonderful his teaching is, how unique a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. That's why such unique beings are difficult to encounter. Through this understanding, our faith can be strong. Then not only he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue, he is also the wisest and most virtuous being ever born. And because of that, he has this ability to explain to living beings or to share with living beings this very unique, profound teaching. Is the Buddha Dharma, which can bring forth enlightenment in the here and now, which can free and liberate all living beings' mind. So when you develop such understanding, your faith in the Buddha and his teaching become very strong. Then as you cultivate, what you need to do is every time you awaken to something, you should contemplate, reflect, and stabilize it. Then when you investigate into all the other essential Dhamma, then realize that one by one, they stand up to investigation. Then your faith can become unshakable. Then there is a lot of joy when you develop all this understanding. So this is how you can avoid doubt. When there is faith, there is no doubt. I remember during the early days of my cultivation, I reached a stage where there was no more doubt. Then I go all out to develop the cultivation. Then I realized all this come about is because after I have understood who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is, and how wonderful this teaching is, all this become possible. Then after that, I just cultivate, walk the path. Then as I realized more and more, understood more and more, then suddenly deep inside, this teaching is exactly like what the Buddha has explained. The Dhamma is Paccetam, Veditappo, Venohiti, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, only the wise, no one else, means the enlightened beings. That's the uniqueness of this teaching, and the teaching has that unique characteristics of Sanditiko, Akaliko, Ehipasiko, Opanayiko. So all these are the hallmark of the Dhamma, the teaching. So as you cultivate and you come across all this and confirm all this, like what Poching also came to realize recently, it's like a perfect match. It really, really match. Yeah. So these are very beautiful teachings. Hope you all can develop the faith and the understanding. Then make full use of it so that this teaching not only can be realized by you, you can also make use of it to share and teach to other living beings so that more and more living beings can also receive such teaching. Okay? Okay, we go back to the sharing. If you have doubt, you will lose your way. So now the sound hearers, the conditioned enlightened ones, and the provisional teachings, bodhisattvas. Every one of them have fallen into the net of doubt. So these are the three vehicles which they mentioned. There we go on to the next part of the stanza. Why has the Buddha said this? Meaning, why has he spoken such a frightening Dhamma that has caused everyone to have fog-like doubt and to disbelieve, to be frightened and alarmed? Then the next part of the sutta says, those who seek conditioned enlightenment, the bhikkhus and the bhikkhunis, the gods, the dragons, the ghosts and spirit, the gandhavas, and others, they look at one another confused or perplexed, meaning everyone stare at each other. Means you look at me, I look at you, and nobody understood. Nobody understands what is going on. But blank here means they were very confused or have doubt, which has not been resolved. In their hearts, they do not know what would be the best. Should they go south or should they go north? Or should they go east or west? They have gotten to the intersection, but they do not know which road to take. There, they stand in the middle of the street, not knowing which way to go, because they are perplexed. Then the next part of the sutta is, and then gaze at the doubly perfect honored one. May their grace fixedly at the Buddha. Not turning their grace away for a moment, they stare up at him because he is sitting high up in the Dhamma seat. They all tilt their head back to gaze at him. What is meant by the doubly perfect honored one? It means the Buddha is complete in both blessings and wisdom. So these are the two perfections. Eh? The ten perfections can summarize into two, eh? Blessings and wisdom. This is because he cultivated blessing and wisdom for 3¾ Asankhya Kalpas and perfected the fine marks for 100 aeons. There are 80 fine marks. And Asankhya Kalpas refers to uncountable numbers of years. Here we are talking about not just one, but 3 uncountable Asankhya Kalpas or great aeons. How long is that? That time period cannot be calculated. How could you calculate an uncountable numbers? Actually, it's too long, too long. One cultivate blessings by making offerings to the Triple Gem, by drawing near to all the Buddhas, by making offerings to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, to the Bodhisattva, Pacheka Buddhas, and the Arahants. For 3 great uncountable aeons, actually 3¾, the Buddha Sakyamuni vastly cultivated the perfection of making offering or Dana Parami. He did not make offering to just one Buddha, but to many of them. One cultivates wisdom, first of all, by holding the precepts. Why? If one holds the precept, one can give rise to samadhi. From samadhi come wisdom. If you have samadhi power, you will have wisdom power. So this one we have gone through. Eh? Anyway, we go through the commentary. Eh? What is samadhi power? Samadhi power means not being turned by any external state. Neither good nor bad can move your mind. Whether the situation that arises is favorable or contrary, your heart does not move. You can have an unmoving mind. It means you have samadhi power. Once you have samadhi power, then you can have wisdom power. So here, Chen Hua didn't explain it. So maybe I will explain it to you one more time. Samadhi power means like what Xian Hua explained just now. Nothing external can stir your mind or make you react to any situation in life or sense experience. So we call it the mind that has developed equanimity. It's the mind that is unshakable. So when you have stabilized your mind via wisdom, you develop equanimity. So equanimity means the mind is equanimous, unshakable, because it has that wisdom. Then at the same time, it is also collected. So these characteristics of samadhi is the right appropriate samadhi as taught by the Buddha. Not the one which is in concentration. There can also be equanimity But this equanimity is not born of wisdom, born of the energy field, samatha, conditioned state. So if you hold your mind in that samatha concentration or one-pointedness, absorption or fixation, then the mind is also unshakable, collected. But it is in concentration. That's why it's a conditioned state. It's not a free mind. This is not the upeka, enlightenment factor that the Buddha talked about. The upeka enlightenment factor that the Buddha talked about is from samadhi, you develop the wisdom. Then you become upeka. Or they call it upeka. The English word they use, equanimity. So how does samadhi brings about wisdom? Transforming the form and mind to develop the seven enlightenment factor. So here, you may recall, when you are in a state of samadhi, your mind has to be a free mind. Means it must be aware without thought, free, not in any conditioned state or forced concentration. Means it's not a conditioned mind. It's a free mind. Yet it is unmoving and collected. This one can only happen and arise if there is this stability of wisdom. So when your mind can be in the state of complete stillness and silence, means unmoving, unwavering, unshakable, means that mind that has that clarity, stability, will have the ability to see things as they are. And that is your true mind. The true mind that is not in concentration, but is in equanimity. So there is no conditioned mind. It's a free mind that can see things as they are. Because this mind has samadhi power. Unwavering, collected. And because of that, it can see things as they are. That's why you can awaken. You can insight into phenomena. Then when you completely silent in that state of samadhi, you can observe, see, and develop the understanding clearly. You can awaken to the 12 links. Patijasamupada, and you can come to know clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a living being. And through all this understanding, the wisdom will manifest. Then when it manifests, you will awaken. Yeah. So this is how samadhi power bring forth wisdom power. Means without samadhi, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot insight into phenomena. You cannot awaken to the truth and the reality within the moment. That's why true wisdom, penetrative wisdom, cannot arise. Okay? So hopefully with this explanation, it is now clear to you all. Okay, we continue. Sakyamuni Buddha cultivated blessings and wisdom. One cultivates wisdom by studying the sutta. This is the first turning, listening to the sutta or studying the sutta. Then the study of the sutta augments one's wisdom. If you do not study the sutta, you will not be able to increase your wisdom. If your wisdom is not increasing, it is decreasing. Therefore, you must study all the sutta, sutras, and the vinaya. So this one is referring to the Tipitaka. Study the Tipitaka diligently. That's cultivating wisdom. But here, you must be careful, because if you are not careful, you think to develop wisdom, you must only study sutta. No, not necessary. But the sutta is useful. The sutta are very useful. Yeah, these are discourses of the Buddha. So, if you study the sutta, you don't contemplate, you don't reflect, you don't inquire, your wisdom is limited. Limited. Because you limit yourself to only the first turning wisdom, sutta maya panya. So sutta maya panya are panya wisdom born of hearing the sutta. Or nowadays we also include learning of the teaching. Yeah. Means you can study it, you can read out, then you can have what they call Dhamma session. That itself is useful, but it will not bring forth penetrative wisdom or stability of wisdom. So what happened is Sakyamuni Buddha taught the three types of wisdom basing on the three turning that he expounded. The Four Noble Truths was turned three times. That's why three turning, go back to the notes, three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, because there are four truths, there are three turnings, so together three times four is the 12 modes. So what happened here is this paragraph alone is only the first turning. After you have heard the sutta, the proclamation of truth by the Buddha, you must reflect, contemplate, inquire to stabilize what you have heard so that you can assimilate them into your heart, into your nature, until they become a part of you. And that one is very important. You can do that, then sainthood in the here and the now is also possible. Those who awaken through the first turning can only do it if you have your past, you have cultivated before. Otherwise, it's not easy. Then, second turning, after you reflect, contemplate, inquire, and stabilize all your understanding, then assimilate them in. That one is more stable, more in them. So most cultivators need to reflect, contemplate, inquire, and develop the stability of understanding until very, very stable. My teacher, Achayantra, always reminded me when he shared with me. He said, we choose, contemplate, reflect the Dhamma until very, very clear. He repeated it not less than six times to me when I was following him for that period. I only met him a short period in a year, short period. Sometimes I go to his way place, sometimes I visit the place he hold his Dhamma sharing in. They call it the monk's retreat, the katina. Sorry, not katina, the pangsa, or they call it the rain's retreat. They will have the rain's retreat at the end of the year. So before katina. So all these are very important pointer. Cultivator of the way who have gone through they will remind you. That's why I also keep on reminding you. Whatever Dhamma you have developed as understanding, heard, study, or come to understand through reading and all those things, you must reflect on it, contemplate on it, yeah? And inquire into it until it becomes very stable, very clear. Because you will encounter a lot of life situations. Then as you encounter all this life situation, you must be able to apply the Dhamma. So when you can apply the Dhamma, means you have the understanding, you have the cultivation. Then the Dhamma can become a living Dhamma, a living reality, not as a theoretical Dhamma or just intellectual Dhamma or just theory, no use. Then apart from contemplate, reflect, inquiry, the third turning is more useful. During that time, the third turning, actually, for those who understand, they will encourage the cultivator not to read any more books. Initially, you can read. Then after you have awakened, you can also read if you want to read. But as you go into the second and third turning, the best is, especially the third turning, try not to read. Where the reading can actually confuse you. So what you need to do is, when you are cultivating the third turning, means Bhavanamayapanya, wisdom born of the actual meditative training, Bhavana. So Bhavana doesn't involve the thought process, doesn't involve the thinking, doesn't involve the theory, the word, and all those things. Bhavana means you cultivate with the awareness nature, with mindfulness, with sati. No more thought-based. So that understanding is very important. So without the second and third turning, the wisdom that you develop is not penetrative enough. So cultivating wisdom is not just what Shenhua has mentioned here. So this is what I want to clarify. Okay, I will go on. I will read on. If you only cultivate blessing and do not cultivate wisdom, what kind of fruit will you reap? So this one I think we have gone through. We move up a bit. One who cultivates blessing and not wisdom is like an elephant wearing a necklace. In the future, you will be like a big elephant, tall and strong, wearing a fine necklace. You will look strikingly enough, but you will not have any wisdom or intelligence. One who cultivates wisdom and not blessing is like an arahant with an empty begging bowl. Means you don't have the parami. So this one, I have actually shared with you all before. But last time, I didn't put it so bluntly. I remember I share with most of you all, if you may recall. If you were to look at all the cultivators of the way, especially the Mahayana Zen teacher, the Zen master, the very famous one too, they actually go through very tough, what they call training. Then their conditions are also very tough, very, very tough. So they choose that way, you see. So they actually focus a lot on the renunciation going forth, then cultivate. They cultivate extensively. Yeah. So for them, because when they choose this way, they are already deep into the cultivation. So what happened is they make vow to come and renounce means go for and all those things, then the focus is cultivation, 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 cultivation. So what happened is over a long period of time, they actually develop some form of like imbalanced type of cultivation. Means most of the time it's only the wisdom, wisdom, which is not to say right or wrong or good or bad, nothing wrong actually, because wisdom can bring forth the understanding to cultivate perfect virtue or blessing, which I always say. But if you don't have the virtue part with you or the blessing part with you, then whenever you come, especially you take the bodhisattva way, towards the long period of cultivation, if your focus is one-sided, it's very dangerous, actually. Then I looked back, I saw even Master Xuan Hua, Zheng Yuan Fa Shi, Zheng Yuan Fa Shi, Xing Yuan Fa Shi, and many of these monks, actually they went through tough time, tough time. Then they also dependent on support and all those things. But a lot of them has already developed the cultivation of Dana Parami and blessing before they decide to go all out to do the renunciation way and to study the sutta and cultivate the wisdom. So the focus is initially they do the normal Dana Parami, the blessing and the virtue. Then after that, they decide to go full time and they spend a lot of time cultivating wisdom, renunciation, all things. But later on, as you cultivate, you will come to an understanding that these two need to be balanced. You need to have both. That's why I also went through all this. Then I came to realize after this segmented life, this nature come to understand why the choice was like that. Because when I come this life, this segment of my life, I realize I don't need any external support in the sense that whatever need financially and all things, I already have them myself. I don't need that type of support. But like those volunteers that come and help build up the Kayamita and other things, doing up all the video and transcript and help out in spiritual. But that one, of course, that support is needed. And that one, voluntarily, people will come for. But when I come for this way without needing support, I realize there is advantage. I don't have to like do it in the way that others go through. So because of that, the choice is up to the individual, the cultivator themselves. Because I look at Vimala Kitty, I like his way. And this line also very strange. Whenever I see this Vimala Kitty Sutta, or I heard about it, it's like I know this guy's cultivation. And I like his way, because his way is very similar to my way. He like to be a lay person. Most of the time, when he come as a lay person, even towards the very end of his cultivation, his perfection. And he has met a lot of Sammasambuddha. If I'm not wrong, you read the Vimalakirti Sutta. He has met up with 90 million Sammasambuddha. To meet one already very rare. To meet 90 million, I tell you. That type of parami, very difficult to find. So that part I need to explain. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So here, what Master Xuan Hua gave as example is very blunt and gross one. So you don't cultivate the blessings and wisdom together, then you will be like the big elephant, tall, strong, and fine looking with the necklace, but you don't have wisdom. What cannot be? If you cultivate until Bodhisattva way, you will have some form of wisdom developed and perfected. That's why I say this one is very blunt, very extreme example. Then he said, if you cultivate wisdom without blessing, you will be like an arahant or a bodhisattva with an empty bowl. But for you to go this way, you must have some form of blessings developed already. Your dana parami also must be quite good, otherwise you cannot encounter the Buddha Dhamma. So all these are part and parcel of the cultivation. But the emphasis is you have to cultivate both. Do not focus too strongly on one side, one extreme. Then I read on. If you just study the sutta but do not do good deeds, nor plant good roots, the sentence like incomplete. If you just study the sutta but do not do good deeds, nor the word is nor plant good roots, or incomplete also. Then how does one plant good roots? Just by doing good deeds, by not doing any evil, and doing many good deeds. So planting good roots is like following the first two advice of the Buddha, avoiding all evil, cultivate wholesomeness, develop blessings and goodness. That's why we have the Mangala Sutta, the dual blessing that the Buddha talked about. So these are blessings. Then there are also merits, the perfection of virtue. Then the next two sentences, Shenhua always share with the disciple these two. He said, I often tell you these two sentences. To endure suffering is to end suffering. This one he taught his disciple very well. That's why almost all his disciples, they can endure suffering. It is one of your vow, the basic vow, four basic vow, to endure and severe all suffering. You vow to endure and severe all suffering. To have this ability to endure means you have wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot endure. If you endure without wisdom, it's not called endure. You suppress your emotion. Then the other sentence is also very meaningful. To enjoy blessing brings about an end to blessings. So when you have good blessings, good parami, do not like be carried away. Because do not just keep on using your blessing or your whatever merits, because sooner or later it will be diminished. So a lot of successful people, rich people, wealthy people, when they receive their wealth, they thought their wealth is unending. So they forgot about cultivation, practice, doing wholesomeness. They keep on using it until the blessing ends or depleted. So this is how you should remember when you go through life. To endure suffering or dukkha is to end dukkha. You can endure means you have wisdom. Then not to say you got blessing, you got merits, you cannot use them. You can use them, but use it with wisdom, with understanding. When there is condition, why not? That's why I always use this example. I say, when you are still young, able to move around, able to live the normal life, before you reach severe old age. If you have the means, you should pamper yourself. Means allow yourself to have good moments in life. Then try to do more and more joyful things, wholesome things. Because life is not about cultivation, cultivation, cultivation. No. Even though I used to tell you all and share with you all, cultivation is a full-time job, you remember? Means your daily mindfulness must be full-time. Your silent mind, your awareness nature must be continuous. That one is a must. But with that, you can still live life. Cultivation can be done in the midst of living life, doing your career, going through your career, traveling, resting, relaxing, or whatever activity you may be involved in. Even gardening, going for a walk, exercising, or whatever, you can do it with mindfulness, awareness. Then all this become different. So these are the understanding that is not shared inside the commentaries by my session, or I would like to add it in so that as cultivator of the way, you will have more understanding. Okay, now I will read on. Do you suffer? Why do you suffer? It is because in previous lifetime, you did not cultivate blessings. And so, you must endure bitterness now. This sentence is very good. If you can endure your present suffering, it will come to pass. If you do not undergo that suffering, which you have already maybe give rise to, it will remain latent. If you take what you deserve, it's not deserve, what you have actually give rise to, then you will complete or finish that coming friction. Yeah. So here, there are a few things that you have to understand. Here, even though Master Chen will say you can endure suffering, then it will come to pass, which is true. But he missed out the part. Wisdom. You can endure suffering with wisdom. I realized for myself this life because I observed and I saw. The moment I apply the wisdom and the understanding to accept it, that karmic negativity or friction, the past, straight away reverse itself and cease. If you don't have the wisdom, it will continue to haunt you until the nature's law actually say enough is enough. Otherwise, it will continue to haunt you. That's why I realize you need wisdom. Go back to the note. I need to go through that notes. Thanks. So this part is very important. Without wisdom, karma cannot be reversed. You can only reverse when you encounter it with understanding, then accept the reality and deal, then develop the wisdom not to be afflicted by it anymore. Then it will reverse itself. Otherwise, it will continue to haunt you. Then the other part is, you look at the first sentence that Shen Hua shared. He said, do you suffer? Then why do you suffer? Then he used this word. It's because in previous lifetime, you did not cultivate blessing. And so you must endure bitterness now. There is some truth in what he said. But the more detailed understanding is not there. You see, the more detailed understanding is, it's not to say when you don't cultivate blessing, you will give rise to suffering. Suffering comes about through delusion, through ignorance, sociality. So if you cultivate blessings, yeah, definitely if you cultivate blessing, you will not commit the evil because there is no delusion behind wholesomeness, blessing and all things. But what you need to understand is we take birth over eons and eons and eons and eons or repeated segmented birth. We cannot assure that every birth we come, we have this Buddha Dharma, the wisdom, or we encounter the sasana, especially before you come to know the Buddha Dharma, encounter the Buddha Dharma. The sasana may not be there. So our segmented life will have that tendency to commit a lot of negativity or karmic negativity or a lot of foolish, heedless, deluded things, which we never understood at that time. So because of that, as you cultivate your perfection, the Bodhisattva way, I realize you cannot assume, oh, I have perfected. Now I have all this understanding. Very likely I have rooted out them. I have no more of all this. No such thing. You look at Sakyamuni Buddha. Even at the life he becomes Sammasambuddha, he also have to pay back his karma. The Chincha incident, yeah, the last meal he eat that make him very ill and all things. Then a lot of things that he did that he explained in the sutta is because of his past. Even Mongalana also said there was one life he actually murdered with the wife, pretend and murdered the parents. That's why he, that life as an arahant, he cannot escape. He has to confront all this. So knowing all this, we need to develop the understanding as we cultivate that you are not really special in that sense. Maybe your nature has developed very strong cultivation leading to strong perfection. But your past, there are certain coming, not within the first thought moment and the seventh thought moment, the second to the sixth, they are there lingering for eternity. So because of that, the understanding of this path is very important. So don't try to like be a hero. Say, don't worry. Because some people who don't understand it ask me, hey, bro, do you owe your paramila there? Why are you scared? Because last time I bought a new car. Then he saw me by the lock and locked the car. He said, why are you scared, Radio? I said, you might as well start the engine, leave the car there and see whether people think or not. That's why do I lock? Because I don't want to create negative karma for these people who steal, but they don't know who I am. So if I make it more difficult for people to steal, if I got one, the same new car or equivalent new, if I make it more difficult for them to steal, they will prefer the one that is not locked at the sana or not with the whatever, that the safety lock and all those things. So all these are understanding. That's why I say, please understand. Cultivation is not you think. That's why sometimes you will say, of course there are true ways. You travel with brother till you don't worry. Everything. Yes, most of the time. But sometimes certain things like Sakyamuni also, he has to pay back on you. Don't try to be a hero. So all this we must bear in mind, even as we cultivate, no matter how advanced you may develop your understanding and perfection, sometimes we cannot be like seem to be arrogant, means arrogant in the subtle way. You say things like the very subtle type of arrogance. You think you have a lot of greed and all these things. Sometimes you simply say things Because I cannot before, when I was in the university, I told you all before, riding the motorbike. You all remember? Because I very good when I was young, I ride the motorbike. I can let go the two hand one. And I can do a lot of special stunt and all that. Then one day they were discussing about motorbike. Then one of them say, "Wow, lucky I didn't meet with the accident. I make that stupid speech. I say I'm very skillful. I never had an accident before." The moment I say that, inside warn me, say, you know what happened? The next day, I went down to Brickfield to have supper. You know, student supper. We go for the mama and the friend, Fukin Chow. So that time was very popular. Then on the way back, as usual, I was driving. Then I remember what I said. I took action. I purposely, my two hands on the handle. I dare not be a hero anymore. Drive with one hand, without any hand. You know what happened? The coming karma, you cannot run. I was very careful, but I hit two potholes. That's how I felt. The first pothole I didn't fell. Got come chair one. Then I hit the second pothole. I went down flat. But luckily, that time I got jeans. Not so bad. Then that shirt, not the long sleeve, short sleeve. That's why my hand here, I cannot. But relatively mild. We're on the federal highway, Luckily, at the back, no car comes. So a lot of things in life, in cultivation, you have to understand all this. Don't simply say things, because what you say, the nature's law actually will come in. And because of this coming, I have that coming. So now you say it, that thing has to manifest. And it really manifests. That's why later on, I became very sensitive. Whenever I want to say something, it alert me already. It's like, cannot say what means cannot say. Cannot share what means cannot share. If you don't believe, you try. Cannot run. So these are the things that my nature has gone through. That's why I want to share with you. Okay, I think we have to end already. Yeah? You go back to that page, I will mark that page. Okay, I will stop here. Mark here. You mark that. So now we can continue your second session. So before I continue our second session, tonight I would like to welcome Puan Chi and Sister Grace. Both of them happen to be here. They came over with Chui, invited me and my wife for lunch. So we had a very good lunch together with some good Dhamma sharing. And they dropped by my house too. We continue for another session, which was very good. So let us welcome Panchi and Grace. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Radio, Sukihoto.
Yeah, Sukihoto, yeah.
Yeah, to Mr. Steele also, and to all Kalyamitas, and especially to those who present at the site, on site at Brother Teo's house.
Yes.
Actually, I would like to invite whoever wish to do the sharing to come forward.
Okay.
No need for me to nominate if possible.
Okay, good. Anybody who wants to volunteer, show our hand. What about Panchi today? She is new. Yeah, come. You tend to have some good questions. You just press this on, Yeah.
First of all, I would like to express my deepest gratitude, appreciation to Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, for all these years that they have guided me, they have helped me in many ways. And indeed, I'm very thankful. Because the Dharma is alive and I can feel a lot of joy because with more and more understanding,
yeah,
I really have confidence.
In
the way.
Yeah.
And even just now during Brother Teo's sharing with me during lunch.
That one was really good.
So each time I listen to the Dharma, I get something extra. I'm never tired of listening to the Dharma. Because I have I think I have that kind of wish to learn, that wish to understand, you know.
Because now with this understanding of what you have developed, your ability to absorb the sharing is different. That's why you find it very beautiful and the faith is very strong. That every time you come, discuss, you listen, it's like a lot of new things you can grasp. Real Dhamma is like that. As you understand, you have the capacity to receive the more deeper aspect of the Dhamma, which last time you cannot. So this is how Dhamma actually functions. That's why cultivator the way we know. Initially, like what you went through, you find it very difficult to understand my words, my sharing and all things. Then over the years, as you cultivate, as you improve, as you develop more understanding, then you come to your own understanding and realization that these are beautiful sharing that was given to you earlier. But at that time, you cannot accept because of the view, the conditioning, and the way you all approach Dhamma from the, what they call traditional, what they call commonly accepted thought-based style of cultivation, which is mainly intellectual, or we call it the intellectual Dhamma, which is not the awareness based on, it's mainly thought based on. That's why this thought based end up mostly as knowledge, intellect, and it become like Dhamma knowledge, they call it, or what some people call, you tend to learn it like a scholar, the scholarly type of Dhamma, which is not practical and not suitable for day-to-day living. Means it is not applicable in life. You cannot live it. You cannot develop the ability to apply that Dhamma which has been learned or cultivated. Because those are still knowledge, not translated into wisdom, penetrative wisdom, stable understanding that can allow one to live it, act out it. So that part I think you also came to know, and you mentioned it many times. Every time you come down, you also share the similar experience. Then this will continue, Then as you listen to the sharing more and more, like the other Kalyamita, you will develop more understanding on your own. Then the time, the faith will continue to grow. Because for your case, it's even more beautiful. Yeah, it involves your life. You go through it, see what happened during that time when those first noble truth reality hit you. Then you couldn't understand. You become like earlier on very emotional, woke up. Then you cannot reconcile what happened with your even own daughter at that time. Although initially it was so full of love, harmony, understanding. But when things went through the karmic way, then things start to like develop in a less favorable way. Then all these things like hit you back and you don't know what the hell is going on until you also lost your ability to become the usual mother that is loving, caring and all those things. Then the emotion, the evil root, all they manifest. Then later on, after the thing clear up, then you start to understand what karmic is. Because initially when I told you all this is karmic, you cannot understand. Yeah, you She won't repeat it. How can I lament that I sacrifice all my idea? Well, all this is according to the individual, which is not wrong. What you say is perfectly true, but right according to your own view, your own thinking, your own conditioning at that time, where you believe that is what life is. I did all this for my children, and they should appreciate, they should want. But they are not you, you see. They have their own karmic, they have their own condition. That's why when it hit back, oh, you really cannot take it. So all this, you go through already. That's why you realize how beautiful this thing is. Then later on, after some time, when I explain to you about the real karmic possibility, then you start to understand that it's not just this life. In the past, like I explained to you, very likely you did that to your parents in the distant past, which you don't know. And now you have the condition, your daughter did it back to you, despite what you have done for her. So this is what living beings cannot understand. And a lot of people tell me, because such thing I remember, I say, it's up to you to find out on your own. Your Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves. And the wise can understand all this. That's why they will know, they will smile. And they will understand why living beings become like that. Why they get themselves entangled and they are like that. Why so sorrowful, so full of misery, hatred, unhappiness. And all this can only happen when it's your own loved one hitting back at you, challenging you, and doing all these things to you. This is what Dhamma is. Dhamma is not a theoretical Dhamma. Like Grace also mentioned, is it? Yeah, la, last time in Gong Kong, is it? People say, karma, ma, anything happen, karma, ma, everything blame karma, then stop that. It is not like that. The true Buddha Dhamma is not karma, ma. Everybody can attribute to karma, but what is your understanding? The understanding is very limited. Anything happen, yeah, la, why, karma, ma. But is that what the understanding is? The understanding is much more deeper and complicated than all this. Unless you are a cultivator, unless you are a great being with that nature, you cannot understand all this. That's why you need great beings, cultivators of the way they have the understanding to explain to living beings all this. Then when this thing becomes clear, it takes time. It's not overnight, unless your past is very strong. But most people don't have that area. Like your case, it took you quite a while, a few years, but it's good. At least after that, you understand, you transform, and you become very different. Then, like a lot of other Kayamita who has gone through, you develop a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. Because, like what you told me, a lot of Kayamita also do it. But deal without the Buddha Dharma, without what you teach and share, we really cannot cope with life. Very, very dark. This is something that I always hear from Kayamitas. That's why Kayamitas are very different, very beautiful. And with the understanding, they actually able to change their life for the better, transform for the better. And they become more contented. They have more joy, more happiness, more understanding. They are more at peace with whatever happens, whatever situation that arises. Then among Kayamitas, there is a lot of joy. Even Grace also know. Before he meet with Panji and the husband and all the Kayamitas, he was like locked in Alostha, in the cocoon of suffering, every time, misery, emotional, with the conditioning, the wrong thought. That's why there is no joy, no happiness. Then she come to understand there are so much things within the Dhamma that can actually transform a person's understanding and free their mind. Because when we understand all this, then we act differently, like I explained to you. You're no longer acting according to memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your beliefs. You no longer use all those things to act. You're that one, has a lot of delusion, evil roots. You act based on Dhamma understanding that you have cultivated. Means action based on understanding, following the Dhamma way, which is basically Noble Eightfold Path. So the last few Thursday sharing on the unique code is very good. You might listen to it. It will actually help a lot. So this part, I think, is very useful. All Kayamita will also benefit. So we should thank Panchi for the good condition she came down with grace. So even Chui also heard about it. Chui also a lot of joy. And Chui also shared her part. She also went through life with a lot of coming past. But the last 10 over years, she was able to accept those reality and move on. And now she is helping Panchi Grace Dale to meet up with his Qigong master to actually help them overcome their whatever old age problem, disease, sickness. Because this Qigong master helped Chui before I got into Chui 21 years ago. It's life and death thing. But he was very good, is it? According to Chui. That's why after that, he happened to meet her, meet the master again. Then now introduce a Panchi. I think you all find it good also, useful. Okay, I let you continue, Panchi.
Yeah, Brother Teo, like what you said is so true. When I first started learning the Dhamma, it was just book knowledge. I will equate it like, you know, holding a dictionary. You just hold the dictionary, you look at the words, you can read, you seem to understand, but actually no, it's flat.
Yeah, you know.
It's only through the suffering and through also your sharing of the Dhamma and also from what I pick up from other sources, all in and plus the suffering. And I guess there is a... The inside of me that wishes to learn, that wishes to understand.
True.
So through all suffering, the mind slowly learns. It begins to understand. And I can't see anything wrong in what I went through. I can I can only thank that all those lessons that I have learned, they are meant
well
for my
learned,
growth.
Well learned.
Help
you in your growth.
Yes. Otherwise, I think I'm a very stubborn nature.
Yes.
I'm a very stubborn person.
Yeah.
Without the sufferings, I don't burn. I need to burn.
Correct.
Burn until, like Hokkien say, then only it is willing to bend down and bow down. Okay,
correct.
Time for me to change.
Sadhu, that is very true. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much, Wanji. Sadhu. Okay, who else? Alicia, you want to talk about what? Pass the mic to Alicia.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kalamita. So happy to see Panchi and here. Actually, Brother Teo, I would like to share my meditation experience 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago after Sister Bo Ching sharing on Dai Dai also Masit.
Sadhu, very good.
I'm trying to develop the understanding what Sister Bo Ching is trying to lead us to. So that Tuesday, I came with my sprained back. I was having very bad pain. So actually when I sat down on the ground, I mean the floor, I can feel a lot of pain at the back. But I say, since Sister Bo Ching said, Dai Dai must see so much experience. So I just give it a try. And then initially, the mind was like feeling uneasy
because of the
physical, how to say, the uncomfortable condition, right? So after that, I anchor my mind into visualize Di Zhang Wang Pusa. So after a while, then the mind gets like the thing is like slowly subtle. Then my breathing become very subtle.
normal.
And then slowly become like no breathing.
Started.
And then it went into like the how is it? The mind like very, very light. Light. And I can feel a kind of very deep relaxation inside.
Oh, started.
Yes. Very good. And of course the pain no more.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even it's the gone. Pain. Not even a feeling of the pain anymore.
Gone,
and the mind is really, really light and deep relaxation. I mean that I can say other than that. But of course the mundane mind always say, oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Sister Bo Cheng.
Yeah.
So I say, I mean despite it's a very short experience, but it's good enough for me to
good enough. Yeah.
Understand the actual how to get over over it.
All these are possible when you have the understanding.
This is what I want to share.
Okay.
And
Sadhu. Amitabha. Let us rejoin. Huh? Sadhu. So all these are possible when you have developed the right understanding. So for Alicia's case, is something that she was able to do is because she has very strong faith in Di Zhang Wang Pu Sa and also strong affinity with Di Zhang Wang Pu Sa. Then she also developed very good sati, and she know how to silence her mind, connect to her nature. Then she able to go through the awareness based meditative training until it stabilized, until all this like subtle breathing ending up in normal breathing and the mind like very still, no sankara, nothing. Then they experience what they call the mind, like no mind at all, very light, the nature, very beautiful. So that one can heal actually. Then one can heal. Even today, I told Chui and Panchi, I say, whatever you do, the Chico Master can help you, but limited. Even the Chico Master tell Chui, you must do it yourself to actually complement what has been done for you. So I told Chui, whatever happened, relax into it. But Chui say she now do the practice of the Qi and all those things herself, following the advice of the Qi Gong Master. Then I say, remember that step, relax. Whatever Qi that you manifest, you must remember to relax. Otherwise, you build up into energy. So if it's for health or what, you can relax, maintain awareness, and see how it goes. Let the nature manifest and do for itself. So it will clear whatever they need to clear. Then you will also experience a different aspect of healing, which is based on your own pure awareness energy. So this one is not like building up the Pantian energy for you to use to heal your body. The other one is using your internal qi to heal you. That's why their qi can be very strong, because these people, they learn. So in life, it's up to us. If you want to learn to develop and use qi to help heal yourself and help others, you can. But all this have its own nature's law behind. So if it's meant to help people for goodness, for wholesomeness, then sadhu, very good. But sometimes, a lot of these things like Xianhua also mentioned, suffering need to be endured. And sometimes we can trace it back to some karmic past. So we can actually invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for all this to resolve itself amicably for you to recover to good health. So you can invoke power of merits. Your first is to recognize if it's a karmic thing. you vow to ask for forgiveness, repentance, and not to repeat this anymore. Then since we are cultivator, the second phase is to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping the precept. And as Kayamita, we have done that. Then cultivate wholesomeness, develop wisdom, which we also have done. So you have enough merits for you to evolve the third stage of the recovery, is evoke power merits. By the power of whatever merits that your nature has cultivated since the day you understand this teaching, may arise the causes and conditions for you to recover to normal health again, so that you can gain back your life, to live the good life, and to help you in your cultivation and other things. So all this you can evoke, you can do. But for her case, is because she has developed the training very well, and she was able to actually try out all these things. And initially, like she said, the pain was quite unbearable. So anyway, she endured. And initially, when you endure, the thought is very strong, because the tactile consciousness from that so-called pain, sensation of pain, it is very strong. It keeps on haunting you on, unless you know how to relax or develop the faith in something. That's why some people use Guan Yin or Sakyamuni Buddha or Amitabha Buddha. The Mahayana is where they use Amitabha. Then for her case, because of her affinity with Tisa Wang Pusa, and also faith in the Astral Bodhisattva, where she this time somehow she was attracted to the Astral Bodhisattva statue in one of the Mahayana temples without knowing that it was Astral Bodhisattva. Then the chanting of Astral Bodhisattva just came to her like that. Then everything happened. That's why a lot of things from the past, they were manifest. Then when they manifest, the individual will know, will understand, and the faith will strengthen. That's why they will know how to continue to develop them. That's why she progressed and become very different, very beautiful. So all this make it possible. Then when she has faith in the Tisa Wang Pusa, she developed the ability to be aware, and with the Sada Virya and the faith, the sati take over. When sati take over, she developed the ability to enter sati. Then all the sensation of the pain and all those things, they will start to fade or disperse, because you know how to relax and the awareness come back. That's why after that, he experienced the breath first, the calm breath. Yes, she go through the breath. Then the breath become very quiet, very subtle, very still, then like no more breathing. Then the true mind surface. Then at that time she will know the pain is completely gone. Not even sensation or any other, it's completely clear, gone. You call that miracle? No, it's nature's way of healing. When you understand, when you know how to meditate, when you know how to develop them. I share with you all, when your mindfulness and awareness is very stable, you can just silent, relax, and the thing just move. Then a lot of gas will be released on, like byproduct and all this thing, clear. It is like recuperate you and heal you. So you can experience all this on your own when you know how to develop awareness-based meditation. It's really amazing, beautiful. I used to recall during the early days, when I first got into all this, the gateway to my nature and the energy, external yin yang, melt inside and become pure energy, then the thrust, the movement by itself happened. I realized my whole physical body transformed until like the whole lot of vibration become very quiet, very still. like a car, perfectly tuned, until I become like a perfect human being. Oh, my whatever illness or whatever heal completely everything that I earlier on like feel my body has completely healed. You are like a perfect human being. That is the power, the pure energy, the stillness, that nature's energy, the pure energy. And all these are possible. But you must remember, body is just a body. It's no point using such precious energy, the pure energy, to just heal. But it comes as a byproduct, no harm, and it's then experience it, go through it, understand it. Yeah. But don't go and purposely look for all this and want to heal yourself. I mean, if you have sickness or what, you want to do it. I mean, you can try. The choice is with the individual. Understand not? That's why the Qigong master, they have the ability. They train in that way. They use Qi to heal you. So you have to understand. When I was in Singapore, I met one very good Qigong master. So he also healed my backache when I was young. I stepped on the banana skin and flip over, and that one, the blockage, and then he cleared for me. But I can feel it because I was able to relax into it silently. And I can feel his energy coming in, and I can feel the movement, how it cleared the blockage and all that. So all these are possible, but you must not crave for it, desire for it, because the thought will come in. You will just rejoice, have gratitude, and thank them for helping. And after that, you develop all this understanding. You will be able to make full use of all this to complement your overall spiritual understanding, to understand why people do that type of thing, why people go to that. Because sometimes it's coming on. You know what is coming, but don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to tell you to be suspicious of all this healer or Qigong. No, some of them are really good. What I want to share is this part, which is very common. Sometimes not necessarily Qigong master, better say doctor. Your last time, let's say you have become doctor, you are not professional, you are unethical, you are sign up. You cure people because of money. Understand? Means not sincere, not ethical. So this is your coming path. Understand? So now, this time you go to old age, you also got problem. You know what will happen? The karma will bring you to that type of master or doctor that is also quick one, also unethical. Are you gonna be like Totang on or the Jumpier? How can I scam? These are possible, not to say not possible. So you have to be careful and develop the sensitivity of mindfulness, awareness, and understanding. If it's a karmic debt, you have to pay, no choice. But don't allow yourself to go and foolishly, heedlessly can I scam again. Ask for forgiveness. Then resolve it amicably and free. But if it's meant to be, you are like this line, maybe you like Chui help to bring you and you recover. These are the positive side of us. Then in the past, like maybe Banchi and Grace also help people recover before, after you meet somebody. Then this line, you got problem, you will come across people like Chui who will recommend you to somebody who is correct. So this is also coming, but positive side, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So whatever you do in life has its karmic implication. So always remember, as a living being, you must have dhamma, you must have sincerity, you must be like righteous, ethical. You cannot, because of selfishness, craving, desire, greed, simply do things cannot. It has its repercussion. It has its coming effect. So don't play a fool in karma. take care of karma. And this is what the teaching is all about. When you understand, you will not be gullible, you will not simply do things. That's why life is not what you think. A lot of people, I can tell you, not easy. Nowadays, even more scam. Now online scam a lot. So this online scam is because in the past they scam people before. That's why this life you come, no matter how, you will come back. Unless you have a clean slate in the past. Otherwise, you have to have wisdom, understanding to avoid all this. Okay? So, sadhu, how come my wife, the timekeeper, the alarm did sound? What sound already? I didn't hear, very quiet. Don't have the the alarm. Okay, so now 10:31 already, we have to stop. So thank you so much for all the good sharing. Thank you to Sister Amy for nominating Wanji and Sister Alicia for the good sharing. So now we will rejoice and share merits before being starting with the divas. Akasata Chirbumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Eta Wata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodatu Sabasampati Sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha. Pito bawatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyam kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana pangatiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva in order 21. Then we will end the whole Zoom session. So thank you so much for all your participation.